We need the Lord every moment of our life, every hour of the day. We need His protection, His guidance, direction, all those things that we depend upon and sometimes we take for granted, but we do need the Lord every hour. Tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, when you say Hebrews 11, immediately you begin to think about the chapter of faith. Up above chapter 11, I have God's hall of fame there of faith and the faithfulness of God's people down through the generations of the Old Testament that the writer of Hebrews reminds us of those men that stood and women that stood for truth and faith and righteousness in the things of the Lord, what they accomplished. They did many marvelous things just simply because they believed God. And I know our God is the same tonight, and so maybe the reason we're not doing a lot of different good, spectacular things is we don't believe the Lord as much as they did. And the Lord works through people that believe and that trust Him. And you can pick out any person here that's listed and could just talk about their faith and what they did. But tonight I want us to look in Hebrews chapter 11, just one verse, verse number 7. A man that is as important as Noah has only one verse here attributed to him in this particular place. The Bible is full of some of the details of Noah's life and what he did. But here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse number 7, the writer says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." That verse starts out by faith and ends by faith. And every detail of Noah's life we find as the flood was preparing, as God was getting ready to judge the world, Noah moved by faith because the Lord had told him and delivered him a message that there's only a certain time left remaining and that he was to do something that was never been heard of, never been done before, and never has been done again. We may have one in Kentucky, but it's not the ark that that Noah built. And we have a lot of details about that in Scripture and in history. And so tonight I want us to think about the ark that Noah built. The ark that Noah provided, and the Scripture says here, to the saving of his family and also to the condemnation of the world. And so here's one article, one thing, that saved some and condemned some. And so tonight I want us just to look at these things concerning the ark that Noah built. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, verse number 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so we know where we are. We realize we're at the end of the last days, and we are coming to the conclusion of this generation of people. And we believe the Lord is coming. We believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. Out on the table, there's a magazine that says the rapture is a very important doctrine, but it's not being preached on very often anymore. And it goes into some detail as to what's happening and why. But we know that the Lord is coming, and I try to keep that before our thoughts and our minds, because that's one of the most important things that we're looking forward to as a believer. The Bible tells us in Titus that is what we call our blessed hope. It is blessed of God, is the hope that we have that one day Jesus shall come again. And so, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I jotted down three or four things here, what kind of day that Noah lived in. And you can go back different places of the Scripture and find details of that. Most of it found in the book of Genesis. But Noah lived in a day really of spiritual ignorance, sort of like our day. They were ignorant of God's truth, but it was not because they did not have the truth. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible tells us he proclaimed the message. I believe he preached probably 120 years while he was preparing the ark, and those around him could hear the message, but yet they rejected that. And they lived in a time that was a very spiritually they were ignorant of those things. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 38, it says, "For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." So that's the activities of Noah's day. They had no care about spiritual things. They had no awareness of spiritual things around them. They rejected the message that Noah preached, and they just went about their daily walk of life. Everything was an everyday occurrence. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and that's just a common practice of people continually of every generation. Yet they had the message and rejected the message that God was going to judge the world with a flood, and they didn't even know what a flood was. And so we find here that Noah was spiritually giving them truth, but they were ignorant of the truth because they rejected that. The next verse is an amazing verse to me when I read this. Matthew 24:39 says, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away." They did have no idea of spiritual things until all of a sudden the rain began to fall. The fountains of the deep were broken up. And the Bible says here, "And took them all away." And he says, "They knew not until that took place." Well, the only reason they didn't know it was because they didn't listen to Noah. The only reason they didn't know what was going to take place is because they either would not listen or did not listen and rejected the word that was given to them. And so he lived in a time of very strong spiritual ignorance, just not knowing until it was too late. I'm afraid that's the generation we're living in. I'm afraid that's the world we are living in. They'll not realize it until it's too late. And so we find it was a day of spiritual ignorance in Noah's day. "And they knew not till the flood came and took them all away." And then the last part of that verse says, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So their day was a day of spiritual ignorance. Our day also is a day of spiritual ignorance. Also in Genesis chapter 4, I'm not going to read all these verses, but in Genesis chapter 4 it tells us that Cain went out and from the presence of the Lord. That's in verse number 16. We know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain rose up and killed Abel because of Abel's righteousness and Abel's faithfulness to God. Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Cain offered the best things that he could do with his hands. And as they were in the field, they were talking, and Cain rose up against Abel and slew him. And the Lord comes and judges him, and the Bible says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So he is going now away. He's going the wrong direction. He goes out of the presence of the Lord. And the scripture tells us in Genesis 4:17 that Cain knew his wife and they had a child. It gives us the name, gives us the grandchild's name, gives us a lot of different names here that came from that union of Cain and his wife. And they go out and there's a tribe or there's a people that have a distinguishing mark about them. And the scripture says here in the verse number 23 of Genesis 4 that Lamech, he slew a man and also a young man. And so the generation and the social activities of Cain's generation and of Cain's people was totally opposite of what should have been given in the scripture. We know that later on in chapter 4, it gives us that Adam and Eve had another son. His son was called Seth, and we find that Seth and his generation and his people they began to call upon the Lord. So here's a group of people that are killing each other. Here's a group of people that are destroying each other and murdering each other. And now there's a different son to Adam and Eve to take the place and of the one that has been destroyed. Now Seth is born, and they begin to call upon the Lord. So here's two different groups of people. And by the way, there's two different groups of people today. There are those that despise the Lord. There are those that that distrust Him and will not accept Him. And then there's a group of people that will call upon the Lord. And so I'm glad I'm in that group that calls on the Lord and knows Him and follows after Him. And so Noah's day before that was a separation of different people in different ways and ideas. And then his day also we find in Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we find here there are indecencies, and they are always continuing on. And the Bible says here, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Here are two groups of people once again. I personally think the sons of God was the continuation of the generation of Seth that called upon the Lord. And the other group of people are those that would not call, and that continues on continually. And so when the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also is flesh. So the Lord's talking here about mankind. He's talking about flesh. And it says, Yet his days shall be 120 years. So in Genesis chapter 6, we find that God says, Here's the time frame. Here's the group, and here's the people, and here's the time frame, 120 years. And so we find there's indecencies and continually going after each other, and godly people mixing and intermingling with ungodly. Now I know Genesis chapter 6 is a very controversial chapter. A lot of things written about Genesis 6, 1 and 2. A lot of supposition, a lot of things. And to say we have a complete knowledge of that, I'm not going to sit here and say I know all of the different truths. I know what I'm comfortable with. And I believe the sons of God, I believe they were the righteous, they were the godly. The daughters of men were those that were the offsprings maybe from Cain's family and Cain's generation. They intermingled their marriage, they intermingled their lives, and God says, I'm not going to put up with that, but for 120 years. And so Noah preached those 120 years. If you look at that time chart back there, you'll find how many people overlap in their time frame and their ages. We read it and we sort of put one after the other, but it's really a lot of intermingling of different generations together. And so here we find this is Noah's day. This is the way, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And they were indignant against the Lord. Matthew 24, 38, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and they did all that until Noah entered into the ark. That was their lifestyle. No concern about anything else. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And so God was judging the ungodly. They were flesh. They were ungodly flesh. They denied the things of the Lord. And so sudden indignation or sudden judgment came upon them as far as they were concerned. Even though they'd had the preaching for 120 years, they didn't know until the flood came. They didn't understand what was going on until the rain began to fall and the fountains began to break up. And the door had been shut on the ark 7 days before that ever began. And the scripture says they knew not until the flood came. And so it was sudden to them, but God had judged and had warned them and told them, man has a life, his span here before judgment's 120 years. So Noah had a ministry. His ministry was preaching and building an ark. One was physical, one was spiritual. He says here that he's a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of the righteousness of God, and we know that he was a builder of an ark. And so that's the ministry that Noah had. It was a ministry that was ordained of God. God said, you are the man, and you are the one that is to be giving the message, and God gave him the message, and I believe he proclaimed it, and I believe he gave it out, because that was the ordained will of the Lord for him, and his message was a message of faith. Just simply believe God. No wonder he's listed here, and it's told twice in this one verse. The first two words is by faith. The last two words is by faith. And so I believe the whole life of Noah was identified by his faith in his God and his faithfulness to his generation. By faith, Noah being warned of God. There's the message that the Lord gave him. He was warned of God, and he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. What is faith? It's believing what we do not see. Faith is taking those things that we do not understand and cannot explain and cannot figure it all out, but faith has us to believe that and to trust the Lord. And so Noah was warned of God and of those things that was not seen as yet. And the Bible says here he was moved with fear and he prepared an ark. If you read in the book of Genesis, you'll find out how Noah prepared the ark and the dimensions that God gave him and the height of it, the length of it, the width of it, the stories and the window and the door, and all those things represent and point to our Lord. And so Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he moved with fear. He prepared an ark, and the Bible says here, to the saving of his house. I believe that's very important to him. And in that saving of his house was a destruction of the world around him. So Noah had a ministry, Noah had a message, and Noah's message was a message of faith for those that would believe and a message of fear for those that would not believe. And in their rejection, they turned their back, probably mocked, made fun, until the door was shut. And that didn't affect them too much, just because the door was shut. And by the way, God shut the door. Noah didn't shut it, and they didn't rush in while it was raining. You can watch all your movies you want to. Noah and the crowd of animals didn't rush in right at the last moment. God put them in there, and God shut the door a week before rains began to fall. And I can imagine all that crowd outside the ark, how they mocked and probably made fun that old man Noah. There in the ark, the door shut. And I sort of like to imagine that when God shut the door, it just sort of disappeared to that generation. Wasn't any entrance at all to that ark. And Noah had only one window. And there's a lot of supposition how that was, but it was one window, whether it was continually around it or one right in the middle, that does not matter. It was one window. And Noah could only look one way, and that was up to God. And he had trusted the Lord, and God gave him ability. The ark proved Noah's faith. He says here that he moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and he did that before it was ever known or ever seen. Noah's faith was proven by, I believe, three things. It's proven, first of all, where he built the ark. He built it nowhere near any water. And here's a big boat, and it's a huge boat. If you've ever been to the Ark here in Kentucky, you'll find that it's a huge thing, and it's built pretty much along the dimensions of the original Ark. Whether it looked like that, I don't know, but size-wise, it is a monster of a boat. And here it is out in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of nothing, nowhere near water, and here Noah's preaching, and he's building an ark. I've always wondered, how did he do that? I've always wondered how much help he had. I always wondered if some of those unbelievers helped him do it, helped him. I don't know. But I know he built an ark at the movement and the persuasion of the Lord, and he prepared that ark for the saving of his family. He was interested in his family, and he did that, and it proved his faith, because where he built the ark, on dry land. You see, true faith will accept the word of God. God says, Noah, build an ark, it's going to rain, there's going to be a flood. Nowhere do you find that Noah questioned the Lord. Nowhere do you find that Noah asked God, now, Lord, are you sure about this? You're not going to find Noah having any second thoughts about doing what God told him. God just said, you build an ark. Here's how you build it. Here's how wide. Here's how tall. Here's how long. Here's how many stories. You just build the ark. And Noah did that. And I believe that faith was that which where he built it was moving upon the acceptance of the word of God. Accepting what God had told him. That's faith. We have a lot of things in the scripture today we just have to accept. There's no way I can, or can you, nor can a doctor. No way can you explain the virgin birth. It's medically impossible, but yet it happened. We believe that how? By faith. There's no way you can explain the new birth. How can an old man be born again? Nicodemus asked, "How can I be born again?" Nicodemus was thinking about the physical birth, and the Lord said, "No, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm talking about that which is spirit." And he explains to Nicodemus salvation, but we can't understand that. How can God take an old creature? How can God take the old man who we are, and turn us into a new man of believing and trusting and having faith in our heart that we're going to heaven one day? There's no way I can prove heaven. There's no way you can prove heaven. But we believe it how? By faith. We believe it because the Lord has said it. Therefore, we accept that and we trust it by faith. And so, where Noah built the ark proves his faith. Why he built it proves his faith, because it's obedience. He did not tempt the will of God. He attempted to do the will of God. And so by faith, in obedience, Noah moved about and he built that ark for the saving of his household. And then he didn't wait till the last minute. He built the ark according to God's time frame. 120 years and you're building an ark. You're building it in a dry place. You're building it where there's no water. You're building it where it's a huge monstrosity. And there, he acknowledged the warning of God. God says, "I'm going to judge them." He turned back to Genesis chapter 6, just for a moment. If I can get there, in chapter number 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. And verse number 5 says, God saw the wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then Lord begins to tell him and tell his sons, the earth was corrupt and is filled with violence. Verse 11, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. Everything that was living, breathing, that had flesh, had corrupted itself before the Lord. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And here's the statement that God made to Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. There's going to be a covering on the inside and the outside. And God gives him the dimensions in the next few verses of how that he was to build that ark. So Noah had tremendous faith. Noah had faith that I don't know if it's could be qualified as equal with anybody else in the Scripture because of the words that were given, the condition of the world, and the heart that Noah had. He just followed the Lord. And before the flood ever began, 100 years before the flood, Noah began to build that ark because God had warned him. The end of all flesh is come before me. Everything that I've made, I'm going to destroy. Noah built an ark. And he tells him what kind of wood and how to do it. And all those things point to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the ark proved Noah's faith. Secondly, the ark protected Noah's family. Noah had three sons, and it protected Noah's family. We read that in verse number 11 of verse 7 of Hebrews 11, to the saving of his family. And the scripture tells us in Genesis that that he had sons, and his son had wives. And Noah was the eighth person. So here's Noah and Miss Noah, three sons, three daughter-in-laws, they go into the ark. And the ark was a protection for Noah's family. If Noah had not built the ark, we would not be here tonight. If Noah had not built the ark, his family would have died. I mean, there's no way that anybody would have ever survived, because God was judging the world because of the violence and the corruption and all the things that we just read about there in chapter 6. And it was upon the flesh of mankind. They were literally destroying themselves away from God. But Noah built that ark for the saving of his family. Noah did that. Their salvation was from the sea of water. Back in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 23, the scripture says, "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and fowls of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Now the whole world's dead. The population of the world at Noah's day was 8 people and a whole lot of animals. 2 by 2 they came in. Of the clean animals, it's 7 by 7. And so we find that the ark protected God's creation, and it protected Noah's family and saved them from the sea of water. It wasn't just the rain. It was the fountains of the deep breaking up, and literally the water coming from beneath was far greater than the water coming from above. And that's what destroyed all of mankind. And you know, it takes faith for you and I to believe that. We can't prove that. There are those that have a lot of proof given, a lot of things in the different layers of the of geology. And those, if they're true to it, there's evidences of a worldwide flood. But you and I, we can't prove that, but we have to believe it by faith. We have to move upon that because we trust the Lord. And so Noah built this ark to the saving of his family. He gave them salvation from the sea. He gave them salvation from the storm that was around them. Can you imagine the upheaval? Can you imagine how the ark was tossed to and fro? As huge as it was, it would still be tossed by the fountains of the deep breaking up and the waters coming up everywhere. And all mankind, all flesh, dies. Everything that God had created that was left outside the ark was gone. Their separation was from the storm, and he gave them separation from the sinful generation in which they lived. So he gave them salvation, he sheltered them, he separated them from the world of the lost. The scripture tells us, let me go back to, I need to keep this marked. In Genesis chapter number 7, chapter 6 is the destruction that is given to us, warned about, and the grace of God to Noah. Chapter 7 gives us the judgment of the flood. In Genesis chapter 7, verse number 16, it says, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up from above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and there was increased and was increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that are under the whole heaven were covered." God gives you a pretty good explanation of what took place. Every high hill. Now, there was no mountains at that time, I do not believe. I believe that took place as a result of the flood and the upheaval from beneath. But for the highest hill there was, the Scripture tells us that the water prevailed over them. And I believe it says 15 cubits, 10 or 15 cubits above that. And so Noah protected his family. He protected them from the sea of water. He protected them from the storm. And he gave them separation from the sinful world, the world that died without hope. Number three, the ark pictured Noah's faithfulness. It just pictured his faithfulness. God said, "Do it." Noah did it. God told him how, and Noah followed the blueprint God gave him and followed the instructions that the Lord gave him. And you know, the Lord, all He requires of us is to be found faithful. He doesn't tell us to be successful, but He does tell us to be faithful. He doesn't tell us that we can go out and make multiple dollars and do multiple things, but He does tell us we can be faithful. I believe from the poorest to the richest Christian can be found faithful. And Noah proved that he was faithful. God not only requires faithfulness, but God rewards faithfulness. Noah's reward was the saving of his household. Noah's reward was that he followed God's plan, and God saved he and his family. And they come out on the other side of the flood, and they're the only ones living. Everything else had died. So God rewarded his faithfulness by the saving of his family. And then he remembers the faithfulness of Noah. He remembered the things of Noah. God blessed him. God honored him. And in Genesis chapter 8, in verse number 1, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained." And so there's the reward that God gave to Noah. God remembered Noah. I don't know what all that entails. When the Scripture says in Genesis 8:1 that God remembered Noah, I don't know what all that is involved in that. But while Noah was on the ark, while Noah was going through the flood, God remembered Noah. And I believe in that remembrance, God blessed him and did many things for him. The fear verified Noah's faith, and the flood vindicated Noah's faith. The whole world died. They didn't have any time for God until it was too late. Sort of like folks we know today. And God took them all away, and the flood vindicated Noah's faith. All those folks that had laughed at Noah, they were gone. All those folks that had mocked Noah and disbelieved and did not accept the message of Noah, they're gone. And so the flood verified, the fear verified Noah's faith, but the flood vindicated his message. He told the truth, and his family was saved. The ark is nothing more than a picture and a portrait of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's only one way to look, to go to heaven, and that's upward. There's only one door. Jesus is the door. We had that last week, that He is the door. And so one door, only one. One window, only one. Three levels. God told Noah to build the ark. He made it a Trinitarian ark. Had three levels. God is a Trinity. Man is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man, body, soul, and spirit. And we're made in the image of God, so we are a Trinity as God. And so we find here the ark portrays our loving Father. God could have destroyed them immediately. They deserved it. Genesis 6, you read the whole chapter, it's a wicked chapter. People are terribly wicked. Flesh now has come upon them. There's multiple things going on and happening. Genesis 6 says there was giants in the land and there's mighty men, men of renown. But they couldn't outdo God. They couldn't outlast God. And all flesh died. Thank God for Noah and his faithfulness. Thank God for Noah and the ark that he built, because it pictures to us the salvation that we have through Christ. One door, one way to look. And thank God we can go inside the ark and have safety to the saving of his family. One day I went into the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? For the saving of my soul. And that's exactly what the ark portrays to you and I. Let's stand together tonight and we'll be dismissed.